Welcome back to another episode of Unlimited Abundance. I am so joyful to be here with you. I know we're not on a usual Monday is how we usually launch, but if you've been following me on Instagram, you know I've had quite a few weeks, so many things, including getting married. I had my honeymoon. I went on a retreat. So I'm back, and I didn't want to just pre-record episodes for the sake of pre-recording them and just throw them up while I was gone. Like, my moon in Capricorn side of me was like, pre-record 3 episodes, edit them, and have them ready. But for me, I just so organically flow on this podcast, and I'm disciplined enough where I usually have them up, you know, every Monday, sometimes Tuesday. But I always just like to channel the energy on the spot, right? Because the energy in this moment or when I record this podcast and when I share it is going to be much more aligned, right? Like, the day I'm recording this podcast, you listen to it or around this time, you know, you're really tapping into the same space. However, I do believe that there's divine timing, because people find my podcast episodes from a year ago and that exact message is exactly what they needed. So both are true and fair, but I'm back here in the flesh and I'm so excited to be here with you and to really talk about a lot of stuff in this episode. I also want to give you a side note that if you enjoy this episode, definitely watch the Instagram live I did recently as well, because yesterday basically was the day I landed the day before yesterday. So yesterday I kind of took a day to integrate, settle back in, but just me being myself, I already wanted to share and talk and so much to share. So I did like a live, but it's going to be super supplementary to what we're talking about today. Also, I'm drinking a decaf oat milk latte with a chai vegan collagen booster. Also very me, so if you hear me like slurping, I won't try to be loud, but I'm just having that beverage in the background. So I kind of want to talk about multiple things. I don't even like just so many, there's like 3 separate things I want to talk about, and they're all very layered. I just thought I'd bring them all here to you and you'll take what resonates. I feel like specific messages are specific people, and at the same time all of these messages are for you as well. Obviously take what resonates and leave the rest, but I just wanted to hop on here. So let's just get on started, right? Just get into the flow. I always do a lot of mini housekeeping things, and I know sometimes these sections are a little bit longer, but just three friendly reminders. One, if you want to come to the Activate 2022 ceremony, it is this Saturday on the 18th at 12 p.m. Pacific. It's via Zoom. You get a full replay if you can't come live. I'm sure most of you know, but if you're not in the know, I have a monthly membership called Divinity where you come to live ceremonies. We usually have a new moon ceremony and a specialty ceremony. So this month we have a super special ceremony, which is basically a ceremony to activate your intentions, your energetics for 2022. We did one of these last year to activate our intentions for 2021, and it was super successful and prosperous. And so I invite you to join. Like I said, it's at 12 p.m. Pacific. Once you join Divinity, I'll have the link in the keynotes. You get instant access to all the info. So once you, I have, like I said, all the everything in the description, but once you join, you'll get instant access to all the Zoom info and to where to find the recordings and everything like that. So I know in case you have any questions, it's all very cohesive and all in one place. So I just want to remind you, if you want to come to that and want to come live, I do suggest coming live to this one if you can. Of course, I know we have so many people from all over the world. It's a global community. So some people, you know, if it's bedtime for them or whatever it may be, it's like 3 a.m. for them. I understand people are going to watch the recording, but if you can come live, it's a really powerful want to join. Second, we've opened a few more spots due to popular demand for the Sedona retreat. I haven't talked about it too much, I think, recently, just because there weren't spots available, but now I decided to open a few more spots. So if you're wanting to join me in Sedona and the healing and powerful energetic vortexes of Sedona, that is going to be March 13th through 17th. I'll have a link in the bio, link in the keynotes to read more about it. Please also, you can also just go to my Instagram and I have a highlight all about it, answering all the frequently asked questions about transport and everything like that. If you want to hear more about it, go to the website, or you can check out the highlight of my Instagram. You'll pretty much have all your questions answered from there. And finally, which I'll talk about at the end, my 6-month coaching program and my 6-month sorry, mastermind and coaching certification program, it's a mouthful, begins January 9th and doors are closing soon. We have such an epic group of women and I invite you to come inside. It's called Lust. I'll be working together with you January through June very closely. We have bi-weekly group calls with everyone inside the mastermind. You get 3 one-to-one sessions with me where I will work personally with you. You get access to daily messaging with me. So I will literally be by your side, like genuine daily messaging for 6 months. I'll be by your side. And you also receive access to all live courses that are run during that time. It's the most life-changing offering. It's just so epic, honestly. So I just wanted to kind of give you reminders about those things, because right now we're, before we hop on into the year, these things are open and I want you to be able to get inside before they close. Also, it's like a silly metaphor, but this is like a metaphor about intuition. So for me, I've found that so much of the time, you guys, I'll find, okay, I'll give like a silly example with shopping because I think it's just going to be easier. Let's say I'm drawn to a product, right? Like for, I can even give a very relevant example. Yesterday, I did my Grand Rising routine. I did my like yoga, I did like my little bit of energy balancing or with crystals. And I open my eyes after and I feel super, super good and aligned. I get this vision or this like message to search a specific item. And I didn't know if I would find the exact item I wanted, but I was like, you know, I'm going to search it. So I search it, first search, I find it. And I'm looking, and I find another piece of jewelry that I really like. In that moment, for a second, I was like, oh, this is so beautiful. I love it. And for a second, I had a doubt. I'm like, do I need this? Should I even order this? And my soul was like, yes. So I purchased it, right? And later that evening, I just went back on the website because I wanted to look again. I actually ordered my assistant some of her Christmas gifts. So I'm not mentioning the website just in case she's listening to this. I ended up ordering my assistant some Christmas gifts from there because I was like, this is so beautiful. And those earrings were sold out. So like, had I not listened to my intuition in that moment, they would have sold out. I've been telling my husband this. This happens to me all the time. I'll find like the it item by accident. Like, this is super random, but there's this Jack Mew top that like blew up all over Instagram and a lot of celebrities are wearing it. Not that it even matters, but I found it like months ago, like before I saw anyone wearing it, like back when it was brand new, didn't know it was going to be a popular item. I just personally loved it, so I bought it. I wore it on our honeymoon, actually. So I've had it for a few months since then, but I was waiting for the moment to wear it because it's a bit scandalous. You can see it on my Instagram page if you want to see the exact top. And I was like, I love this. I have like a full body yes feeling. And then later it's like sold out everywhere, hard to get because it became like an item. So for me, I have this taste. And my mom actually looked at my astrological chart and it has a lot of indicators that I'm good at predicting, I guess, like trends and things that are going to be it items. I'll find something. It was the craziest thing. Like, I just have so many stories of this. Once I was like, I wanted this top. I'm a Venus in Gemini, okay? So I love beauty and I love aesthetics. But I was teaching a course and I was like, you know what? I'll buy it later. You know, be present, be in the moment. Like, right now I'm just going to focus. And later I was like, yeah, I'll order it later, whatever. Then in the evening I look and it's sold out. This happened to me so many times. If I find something and it's a full body yes for me, it's like a reminder for me just to get it in that moment and not overthink it. Because so many times I've desired something and then I'll overthink it and then it'll be gone. It's just like it's just so funny to watch this happen. Or like, and it's a very random item. Like, it's not like it's like super. It's just with anything. Like, I'll find like a thing on Etsy, okay, some random vintage item because I'm just very into finding cool things, and then like it'll have an offer on it and I'll be like, I'll think about it. And the next day the offer's gone. Or like, this has happened so many times. Another dress has happened where I found this dress and I was like, I don't know. And it was like, last one left. I was like, I don't believe it. You know, sometimes they use it as marketing. And no, it really was. So I don't know if this happens to anyone else, but like, it's like, whenever I find something and I know it's going to be an it item, now I just trust it's been like one of the biggest lessons for me. It's like, just to say yes. And this goes greater than just, you know, clothing or whatever it is. It's just like to any kind of offering. If you feel it's a full body yes, say yes. Don't miss the opportunity, right? Like, say yes to it. Like, for even something super small, like, just show up for yourself. If you feel like, okay, I want, this is why I'm giving the announcements, because once 2022 starts and the doors close for Lust and the doors close for the Sedona retreat, you won't be able, you know, to get inside. And this is why I'm like reminding people. And I wanted to put this at the beginning of the podcast is just because I know sometimes we want to wait until we feel like it's the last minute, or like it's almost like when it's gone, then you want it more. It's the weirdest psychology, right? When you want something and then it's sold out, now you're more determined to get it. But if they had it in abundance and it wasn't sold out, you would be like, oh, whatever, I'll get it later. So just kind of a reminder that not just a general reminder for you, just to trust yourself when something feels like a full body yes for you. So yes, and like I said, we have such amazing groups already inside both the Sedona Retreat and both Lust. But if you're not inside and you've been following my work or following my content or just listening to this podcast, I really invite you to take the next step in your journey. I just recently went to a 7-day retreat and it was in Cancun, and that I decided so quickly. I got the email about it. I'm like, yeah, I'm just going to go because I just started listening to my full body yes and how important it is to go into the unknown. And so with that, I kind of want to get started with this podcast episode is a first principle, right? Until you go into the unknown, you're going to create more of what exists. What do I mean by this? Well, this is a very complex subject, and when you want to speak about it on a quantum level, but I'm going to try to explain it the most simplest way, right? Most people are operating within their known territory. And what do I mean within their known territory? They're holding similar thoughts that they normally do. They're holding similar or not the same beliefs that they normally do. They're holding very similar emotions, right? And most importantly, on a subconscious level, the framework or structure of their reality is quite the same. And so when they move through the world, as an individual moves through the world, they project their subconscious onto reality. This is a fact. This is why all of us could go to the same exact event and all of us would have such a different experience there, because all of us would be projecting our own subconscious lens, and our subconscious lens is comprised of thoughts, feelings, beliefs, right? Right? And from that space, we would be interpreting it. So most people are not changing this, which, you know, is fine, but I'm just going to kind of explain this. And so they move through their world projecting that over and over and over. So they're always in the known because they're having a decision of, oh, should you want to go here or here? And they're going to pick the more familiar one. They're going to have a choice of, should I expand into the unknown or should I pick what's familiar? And they're going to pick what's familiar. And if you're always picking what's familiar or comfortable, you are going to get a match to that. You're going to get an experience that is a match to that, right? So it's like if you, in order to have an unknown, in order to create something new, so anything that's new and anything that's different in your life, anything that's vastly different that you create is created from point zero, right? Actually, a woman I met at the event recommended this book to me called Point Zero, so I should read that. It's kind of a reminder to myself as I'm channeling right now. But anything you create is from the space of nothingness, right? It's nothing and it's everything, right? So you can interpret it either way. You're creating from just this space of zero. That is where something new is born. But most people aren't creating, so you could say, I would say from that space, they're kind of recreating what is already, right? They're not going into point zero. They're like staying at wherever, whatever degree they're at, and they're creating more from that. And they look at it and look what they've created, and they feel the emotion, and they create more from that, and they create more from that. Yet where you create a different experience is where you go to point zero. This is why, I mean, in meditation, where you go into point zero through different kind of breath work, you go into point zero, you basically are attempting to get into the space of nothingness yet everythingness, and from that space do you set an intention, right? And from that space do you create something new. This is why inside my ceremonies we do a meditation light activation where we kind of bring you into this space where you are no longer, so to say, such an identity. You're kind of you get into this space of point zero of creation, and then we do the ritual. If you've ever been inside ceremonies or inside divinity, this is very tactful on a metaphysical level because this is the space from which you create from. Now, I know that's kind of sounds a little bit complex, and I totally understand that because even me saying it out loud, I can understand how that can sound layered, but I can give you a further example of this, right? So either there's two ways of being ultimately, right? One is that you are just reacting to whatever is in your environment, and that's giving you thoughts and feelings, and then that's calling more of that in. And this is so normal, and this is so consistently visible in society that it doesn't feel like this is a weird option. This feels to most people as a quote-unquote norm. They go through their day, there's traffic, they're annoyed. So the traffic made them annoyed. So now they're holding the feeling of being annoyed. They're thinking about being annoyed. Because they're thinking about being annoyed, they're probably going to manifest another situation that's going to reflect that. So they go to the coffee shop, they get a rude barista. Once again, it reaffirms their beliefs that they should be annoyed, that they're the victim, and so on and so forth, right? And it's very subtle, and people just get used to it, you know? People just get used to a specific way of being. You can get used to thriving, and you can get used to suffering equally. And in our world, in, you know, I think a lot of it is religious dogma, but it's like you get a pat on the back, right, when you're used to suffering. But in the same way how you can get used to life where you're suffering, you can get used to life where you're thriving. And so the latter way to live, right, is to you choose the thoughts and therefore the feelings and emotions that you're going to feel. And you're not going to let your outer environment dictate how you feel. You're not going to let that person who made a remark or that person who crossed or that car that was going super fast, you're not going to let that be the reason that you choose your thought or your feeling, because you recognize that your thoughts and feelings are your creation. They're your creative power. So you know that you're not going to just toss your creative power to the side, turn it off because of someone else's projection in the hologram, right, or in this realm. And I don't know, to call it a hologram, I think can go really far, because then I think it really sometimes can make people separate, remove the divinity of life. And I really think that life is so divine, and you know, we're all connected to source or God or consciousness. So I think sometimes to call it a hologram almost removes a depth of consciousness and this appreciation and, you know, for love and for life and for consciousness, and it makes it just feel like, oh, just a game where there's no rules. So I don't really love even using that word, but this experience, right, this reality in quotes is probably the best way to put it. And so instead you decide, I'm going to hold this thought and I'm going to hold this feeling, and I know that in time, quote unquote time, because we experience time in a linear way, my reality will reflect to me these new thoughts and feelings. So it's like when you're first beginning to manifest something, you may not see evidence of it right away on a tangible level. You may feel it. You may see signs. You'll have synchronicities, right? So like life will wink and nudge you. Oh my gosh, I'm diffusing I have a nebulizing diffuser, and it's peppermint. It's like really, really pepperminty. And it's like opening my nasal passageway. Are you taking a break? Come on. There we go. We're back at it. Put some more peppermint oil in there. And so you know, right? So like, it's why the beginning of any manifestation journey, you don't have that tangible proof yet. You have a lot of a spiritual, or you have that energetic proof. And with time, as you continue to hold those thoughts and feelings, then your reality will shape and shift in such a way that organically your reaction would be those emotions, right? So it's like someone may be in a job that they don't like, but they begin to hold. I mean, this is like very complex, because co-creation is very complex. And in our world, I think it becomes oversimplified and not really tailored to the individual in a way. Although, so it's like, manifestation in general, it seems simple, but the layers for the individual to overcome and to integrate are complex. That's how the best way to put it, right? So people get stuck in this cycle of thinking that there's something wrong with and they're not being able to create, and they're pushing and pushing and pushing, when usually the solution is something completely different than they originally thought, right? But basically, right, if someone's in a job that they don't like, but they hold the feeling and the thoughts that they're in a job that they love, also while taking action, right? So they're applying to other jobs, finding other things, but they're holding that feeling and that emotion. Before you know it, they're going to manifest a job that actually genuinely, organically makes them feel that way without them having to hold that feeling. Like without them having to project that feeling outward, the environment will then be conducive or aligned with that feeling is the best way. So I kind of want to speak about that. Those are the first subject I want to speak about. And this is like we're going like really deep into metaphysics here. So this is for my, but trust, you're here. So you're meant to hear this for a reason. Take what lands with you, right? And take what resonates and leave the rest and listen to it another time. Like so many times when something is kind of a little bit more layered, every time you listen to it, you get a better understanding. So the next thing I want to talk about is how there's different steps in co-creation, and there's different steps in manifestation, and they're vastly different. So listen, I made an Instagram live that talked about this as well. This is why it's so important, I think, to have an experience tailored to you, or to, you know, have someone who's working with you who understands this. Like whenever I work with my clients in groups or one-to-one, I really have to look at the individual and evaluate the scenario that they're in, and the space they're in, and the energy they're in, and where they are in the process of co-creation. And it's like, you have to take a lot of factors into consideration before telling someone, oh, just do this, or this is the formula, this is how you do it. Like, it's very important to understand that there's different things that are required. So what do I mean by that? I mean that This is why there'd be such contradicting spiritual advice, you know? Some will preach like, allow, just rest, receive, just be, just hold the frequency of love and receive. And then other people will preach, you know, take action, take us inspired action, aligned action, blah, 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 blah. Someone else will be like, work on your shadows, integrate your shadows, face your fear. You know, and it's like so many different, what it seems to be. This is why there's so many different like methods or approaches, but all of them seem so contradicting. I think as like for individuals, they get really confused. They're like, okay, well, someone's telling me to do this, and someone else is telling me just to take action. Someone else is telling me to receive. It's because like there's different parts. So when you're first beginning to create something, right? Like you have a desire, and whatever this desired reality is, it can be one specific thing you're wanting, or it can be a combination. It can be a whole new life you're wanting, whatever it may be, right? Before you've created that energetically in the quantum field, of course it's not time to just if you just got the idea, like, okay, I have this new desire, I have this new vision, it's time to create. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not that reality isn't created yet on an energetic level, so it's not really the time to go into receiving, so to say, right? Because you haven't even created it energetically. So let's talk about like this is a very broader general overview, but initially when you have a desire, right, or a new vision, you need to anchor in energetically. People want to say into 5D or whatever. We can just say into the quantum field, right? You're wanting to project that desired reality and charge it with emotion, because that is how you pull things into your reality. It becomes a vibrational match, a frequency match, a match of thought, feeling, emotion, belief, right? So you're wanting to create that energy. This is why when you're first having a desire, there's specific steps you take to begin to activate that on a quantum level. This is the work I do with my one-to-one clients. This is the work I'll be doing with students and those inside Lust, the Epic Women Inside Lust, because it's super important to understand this and to have someone who can guide you and see where you are energetically in that process. I find that invaluable, to be completely honest, versus someone just going to give you very general advice and then it's kind of like, okay, pick and choose what lands, right? So first you want to create it on an energetic basis. So you just got a new vision, you just got a new idea. You basically, how creation works is, right, you begin to charge that potential in the quantum field, whatever potential it is. So if you're manifesting a partner, for example, someone, then you're like visualizing yourself with another person, you're feeling the emotion, you're feeling the frequency, you're beginning to shift your thoughts around it, you're beginning to shift your beliefs around it. And you're beginning to create, allow it to become a vibrational reality, right? And it takes time to charge this and time to allow it to become super powerful. You're wanting to put, and this is like, I know as I'm explaining, I can feel that this is kind of difficult to explain. It'd be very much easier to draw with some graphics to explain a little bit better. But basically, it's like, You're wanting it first to exist in the quantum field, right? So if you just got the idea yet and you haven't charged it with emotion, you haven't visualized it, you haven't felt into it, of course it's not time to receive yet, because you haven't even, you want to create it first in the quantum, and then you want to align as a match. So first you would begin to create and feel into it. And I have various practices that I do. Obviously these are things I teach inside my offerings, so I'm not gonna share them on here, but I have, you know, a myriad of practices that I teach and do myself that basically activate the desired reality and the potential in the quantum field. That is the first step. You want to feel into that. You activate that in the quantum field, and you also begin to sense when it has become charged enough, right? Or when it still needs more. This is like an intuitive process. Then you begin to, at the same time, align your frequency and your state of being to that reality. Now, this is where a lot of the inner work comes, because most people, the reason why, if it was just that easy, is, okay, well, just feel the emotion. Well, the reason it's more than feel the emotion is you have to become a full match. A full match means an energetic match, yes, an emotional match, but a match in thoughts and a match in beliefs. So what I mean, I always give this kind of silly example, but if someone's like, I want to manifest abundance, it's like, amazing, great. So then, first of all, they usually forget to, they don't do the first step. They don't actually charge the potential and have a clear intention, have a clear vision. And then secondly, they don't align with the embodiment of it. So the second step would be to align with the embodiment of it. So if you're like, I'm going to manifest abundance, I'm successful, I'm abundant, and then comes the time to invest in yourself, and you're like, no. It's like, well, in that moment, you weren't a match, because the version of you that's abundant, is expansive, is wealthy, whatever it is, would invest in themselves, right? They would select the option of what they desire. They wouldn't just settle. They would get the thing that they actually want, right? And another silly example, it's like someone's like, okay, abundance, success, blah, 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 blah. Then they're at the grocery store and there's like two almond butters, and one's actual almond butter they desire, and it's a little bit more than the normal one that they get. But then they have a choice, right? Do I go off my old belief systems and just get what I would normally get, what feels comfortable for me, what's my normal thing, what's what I usually get? Or am I going to choose the option that aligns with my highest expanded version of myself? If I was this person that I'm envisioning, or if I was the person that's in the reality that I'm envisioning, what would I choose? This is an easy way to say this, right? It's not act as if, because I would say life knows you're acting. It's embody it. Live from that space. Neville Goddard says live from the end, but you have to become a match there. So this is why it's super layered. Oh, it's 111 as I'm saying this. So that is the second thing. So most people, A, are not creating it in the field, first of all. They're not charging the potential in the field. So like, okay, it doesn't exist even really in a powerful way, an energetic level yet, right? Because the more emotion and the more thought you put behind it, it charges it. Obviously, this is why when you think about something a lot, or you overthink about something a lot, why it feels so intense, and why it also feels difficult to shift your attention away from it, because there's a lot of energy behind it. In that same way, you can charge a desired potential. You can charge a desired outcome by, through various energetic practices. And then you create the alignment or the embodiment to it. And like I said, this is where a lot of the inner work comes. This is where most people get sometimes triggered, or like they're scared to step into that, which of course, right? If you're wanting a reality that you've never had, you need to become somebody you've never been, aka you need to do things that you've never done. And of course it's scary, for most people going into the unknown is scary. But I did a Instagram live with my friend Luis, and he was saying like life is, just looking at this, like someone's success in life is how good how comfortable are you being uncomfortable? Like how, and not uncomfortable in a way where you're like your needs aren't met or you're unsafe, but like in the unknown, like how comfortable are you continuously expanding into a new version of yourself and trusting that, right? And continuously stepping into the next potential for you, and continuously stepping into the next potential for you over and over and over again, right? Like that is such an important indicator of that. And then after you've created it very strong on the quantum field, and you've done all the inner work to align with it, and you're acting and living from that embodied space on a consistent basis, then you go into receiving, okay? Then more so you can go into receiving. This is why different manifestation, you could say techniques or methods, apply at various parts of the process. And of course you're going to have mixed results if you haven't even charged your intention. You're like, I'm just going to receive now. Or the opposite, if you've already charged it so much and you've like created it and it's so, so, so powerful and you've embodied it, and now you need to allow and you just surrender and allow the opportunities and things to come into your life so that things can click, 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 and you're still pushing, and you're still like not coming back into the tangible realms. Of course, the same thing. So it's like, this is why it's really important to understand this process, in my opinion, and to really understand on a metaphysical level how this works, and to have experienced it as well. I mean, I find this so crucial, because not only does it have to be an understanding, right? Like, okay, I can understand from teachings or from whatever else, maybe this is how it works, but it's so important to work with someone who has gone through this process. And for me, in my creation, I've really felt this process and feel like I refine it each time and can fine tune where I am in the process and what needs to be adjusted, right? And of course, I'm still learning and growing, but I find that I'm quite powerful at guiding an individual through this process. This is why I'm so honored and so joyful to be leading and holding space for the Women Inside Less. And if you're wanting to get inside, because we'll be working this process, whatever you're going through, whatever shift you're going through, right? Maybe you're going through whatever your quantum leap is. Maybe your quantum leap is a huge healing. Maybe your quantum leap is a huge business growth and expansion. Maybe your quantum leap is starting a new chapter of your life, of being a new version of yourself that you haven't been, or anything in between, right? This is, we're going to work together to move you through this process. And you know, 6 months is more than enough time to begin to understand this process and integrate it and see shifts in your life through this. And so that's an important thing I really wanted to mention as well. So that's kind of point two. I know we've had so many points. So like point one was a little bit about the unknown, right? About being comfortable going into the unknown. Point two was, you know, how are you, what space are you, how are you creating, right? Are you holding the feeling and allowing your environment to reflect that back to you? Or are you just simply reacting to your environment? And step three is what I want to talk about is just three important things or three pivotal things that I find so life-changing, especially moving into 2022 here soon. These are just things I really think that are the most important tools or bullet points or concepts to apply to your life. Again, take what resonates and leave the rest. Take a sip of my latte. Oh my gosh, so good. And so these three things are, first, you become who you surround yourself with. You become who you're around, because that is like your, I mean, it's like an extension of your reality, right? If everyone around you is a flop and everyone around you is just like wasting away their life or just like just brainwashed, not to be rude, like I'd have to be blunt here, my Mercury in Taurus is really coming through. And just kind of like, whatever, just staying stagnant and just doing the same shit that everyone else is doing, that's going to influence you. So many people tell me, oh, I fall back into patterns or I fall back into old patterns. Of course, because if you're around people who are all engaging in specific behaviors, you're going to be influenced that. You know, there's so many quotes that are like, tell me who your friends are and I'll tell you who you are. And my friend Louis said this in the live, but he's like, if you have four broke friends, you're going to be the fifth. If you have four fat friends, you're going to be the fifth. In that same light, if you have four successful friends, you're going to be the fifth. If you have four thriving, inspired friends, you're going to be the fifth. If you have four uplifting, successful, wealthy friends, you're going to be the fifth. If you have four friends filled with love and gratitude and living their dream life and co-creating, you're going to become the fifth, because that is the energy that you're soaking up. And some people say, well, no, like I can have strong willpower, but it's like, okay, I can agree with that and say, okay, yeah, you can be in a group of people who maybe don't serve you, and you can be very self-disciplined and not do what they're doing and follow your own beliefs, but then why are you around these people? You know, your friends should make you feel inspired and your friends should make you come alive. And I know there's a really big point in someone's spiritual journey where you don't have friends, and I'm gonna be completely honest about that, right? Because sometimes when you're entering a new version of yourself, you're in the process of letting go of the old version. So there's moments where you don't have people who are aligned with that new frequency yet. But this is why there's the beauty of online community. And this is why, you know, this is why coaching or groups or mentorship is so powerful, because A, you become who you surround yourself with, and B, others' expectations of you influence your behavior in very powerful ways. So if you're always hanging out with your friends who have seen you in a specific light, you're going to act more often than not in that light that they view you as, even if you've changed, because that is how powerful the power of expectation is. And so in that same light, when you're working with a mentor, you're in a group or you're in a course, and someone is having a different expectation of me, for example, I hold such high expectations and standards of the women and men in my offerings, because I see them at their fullest potential and I give them room to rise to that. I don't see them failing. I don't see them not succeeding. I don't see them for their weaknesses or their struggles. I see them as the most embodied version of themselves, and that is my expectation. And so every time then they begin to view themselves as that. They're like, oh, wow, another individual is viewing me as this. I can become this. I am this. I have space to rise. So my first tip for going into 2022 would be A, to surround yourself with the frequency you want to be in. And like I said, this may not be in your immediate life. For me, it took a while for, I would say, me to manifest like-minded friends in my real life, and they're all from online, like Leo or Liana, Gem Goddess, right? Like I held the frequency of the match that I wanted, and then those are kind of people who, you know, manifested in my life in the same way of how I met my husband. I held a specific frequency of the kind of quality of partnership and the feeling of like whole, like family and wholeness that it would feel like in a way. And in that same light, just, I just want you to know that if you're in a process and you're losing friends, or you're like getting rid of friends who don't serve you, and you feel lonely or alone, like that's fine. And I know that it may not be the most comfortable, But it's a good sign. It means, I would say it means you're changing. If you're not resonating with the behaviors and pleasures of the past, perhaps you know you're moving on to something bigger and better, right? And this is why I always tell people, like, join a community, whether you just join Divinity, which is just ceremonies, or whether you go into more of a higher level offering like Lust, or you come join at a retreat. You meet so many like-minded people at retreats. Like, this is why I really invite you, if you've been following me and following my work, to come to Sedona, because it will change your life. For me, I was just in Cancun retreat and I met so many amazing people, and I become quick friends, and people who I feel comfortable with them staying in my home, or I'd stay at their place if I visited them, because we're on the same frequency. In fact, I'm seeing one of my friends that I met there soon. You know, it's like, and this is why, again, power of community. But you have to choose. No one is going to, it's nobody's job to inspire you but you. Some people are like, I'm not inspired. Well, okay, well, what are you doing to inspire yourself? What are you feeding your brain? What are you watching? What are you listening to? I mean, in fact, even that fact that you're listening to this, look, you took an action and you were like, I'm going to do something that I know is going to uplift me or inspire me or stimulate my mind in some sort of way or inspire some sort of interaction, right? It's no one's job to inspire you, but you know, no one was assigned in life, I'm gonna be blank's just inspiration, and I'm just gonna every day wake up and inspire her. Like, in the same way, it's my job to inspire myself, right? I'm like, okay, every day I'm gonna choose what is gonna be my routine in the grand rising that's going to allow me to feel inspired. What can I do for me that's gonna inspire me? What can I listen to? What kind of movement? What kind of meditation? Where should I go? Like, and this is why I change up my grand rising routine consistently to inspire me, because what inspired me 3 months ago may not inspire me now. And you know, we go through patterns. Like, sometimes I'd wake up and go to the beach. Sometimes I would go into more of like a solo practice. Sometimes it would be listening to a book, you know, I mean, whatever it may be. Sometimes it's more of an aggressive workout, sometimes it's more of a gentle workout. Like, it's no one's job to inspire you but yourself. And this is why, again, like, why I find immersing your mind in the frequency that you want to be, your life to be like, is so important. Like, whether that's through podcasts or audiobooks, or I just find courses so powerful, or going to live event. Like, this is why I finally wanted to do my Sedona retreat as a live event, because you can meet, you know, people in person, in the flesh. And I just find that so important to decide, like, what are you going to do to inspire yourself every day, right? It's like, and if you have all these visions for 2022, how are you going to take the action on that? Like, so someone's like, oh, I'm going to eat healthy. Okay, so how are you preparing to eat healthy? Have you decided what you're going to cook? Have you decided the kind of meals you're going to make? Have you decided maybe what days you're going to make it on? How are you going to store it? Are you going to juice? Do you need to buy a juicer? Like, I'm just kind of going on a tangent here, but I'm trying to explain, like, when you set a goal, tell yourself how you're going to do it? You're like, oh, I'm going to invest in myself more. I'm going to prioritize my spirituality. You need the tangible action, right? Which is kind of like another part. It's like, people get stuck in manifestation by just staying in the visualization and the feeling, and they just don't take action, right? Of course, it's manifestation, but it's also action, right? It's like, it's creating the energy and then taking the guided action when it comes. For example, like, you're visualizing that you want more like-minded friends. You get an opportunity to go to a retreat, and then you're like, no. It's like, life brings you something that is a vibrational match to your desire, and it's up to you to take action on it, right? Like, for example, I'll be manifesting something or focusing on something, and I'll feel the opportunity come into my life, but it's up to me to take action on that, right? So it's like, for example, I'm like, oh, I want more like-minded friends, and I'm like, oh, go to this event or go to this retreat. I could have just been like, no, you know, I'm going to stay in the comfortable, stay in the known. I was like, okay, I'll go into the unknown. Let's go. Met like-minded friends, right? So it's like you don't just close your eyes and visualize and just drops into your lap. It's like you pull in an opportunity to take action and make it tangible. And it's up to you to take that action. And you have to feel worthy enough to take that action. You have to feel, I would say, confident enough. This is why when, you know, or it's like, if you're like, oh, I want to level up in my life, and then you really, really resonate with someone or an offering or whatever it is, and it feels so right to you, well, there is your answer right there. Like, there is life being like, here, step into this unknown. Step, do something different. Here's something different to give you a different result, right? Here's a different, like, you. What would you normally do? You normally probably not do it, and you would just stick to your normal. It's like if you would normally not do the thing, not take the course, not do that, and you've seen, and that is kind of how your life is. Well, what imagine what would happen if you stepped into the unknown, right? Imagine if you did take the thing or work with the person or whatever it may be. That's an unknown, which means it's going to give you a different experience, aka it's going to not give you more of the same. And if you're trying to create the new and create a new reality, then there's kind of your answer, right? The second thing is kind of, they're all kind of blurred into one, but I'll kind of still try to keep them like bullet points. But it's like, again, to have a routine that inspires you daily, a grand rising routine. I always like to incorporate meditation and movement. I think those are really important, but you can do them in ways that serve you. I'm not here to say this is the one way to do it. Of course, in my work, I teach a lot of different methods that I find quite effective and enjoyable and useful, and that I've seen, people have seen epic results from. But ultimately, it's your choice, right, of what you like to do. But I recommend some sort of meditation, 10, 15, 20 minutes, and some kind of movement at the least, even if just you just dance or just do a little bit of yoga, go for a walk. I just think meditation and movement and intention and some journaling, I think, are really good. So like journaling, intention, meditation, movement. Intention you don't have to journal a lot. You can just set intentions while you walk or while you meditate, while you visualize, but to have that kind of routine. And step three is really to take action on your inspired ideas. Like, I don't know how much to stress this. I don't know how much more I can say this to people, because it's like you can create. It's like think about this. It's like you want whatever it is that you desire, but you're going to get that through some sort of action, from taking some sort of opportunity, from going into some sort of unknown. You have to get this in your head. Like, this reality that is different from my reality now, requires me to go into the unknown. Like, this is just like, you need to grasp this. Like, I feel like this is just like been so prevalent in all my work recently. Like, you need to understand, like, okay, new different experience means I need to go into a different opportunity. I need to do something different, aka go into the unknown. So when you begin to attract opportunities to go into the unknown, take them. Like, it's like, so if you're wanting this new reality and you're finally manifesting different things, a different opportunity, choose that new opportunity, right? Like, I think it's just so important to understand that manifestation isn't just sitting and everything just kind of comes, everything just, and things just show up. The opportunity can show up, right? The bridge to it shows up, but it's still time for you to cross that bridge, right? It's like, in the same way, manifestation isn't just taking aggressive action without alignment. Taking nonstop action without alignment is just like burning yourself out for no reason. You may not need to take 500 action steps. You might need to meditate and feel into the 10 you need to take, and those might be equally effective. Or, you know, it's just important to not overdo either. Again, that's like the wounded feminine and the wounded masculine playing out in our society, is this desire to just think that you just visualize and chill and then not take action when the opportunity comes, or the opposite, just taking nonstop action without alignment, right? These are some of the greatest things I would say. For me, the action is just like such a prevalent theme, and it's so interesting because I was recording my live with Luis after the retreat, and he was saying too, like, a big takeaway for him was like action. And for me too, like, it's been a really big takeaway, is like, it's just so important to take action when inspiration hits. And I know it's scary. Like, I know it's scary to go into the unknown. I know it's scary to invest in yourself when you've never invested in yourself, especially at new levels. But you're entering a new level of your life, right? The old version of you is investing at the level that you are now, but the new version of you is investing in yourself at a new level. So how can you can meet your new self through that action, right? It's like, if you're always picking the same or the familiar or the comfortable, what makes you think you're going to get the expansive as a result? If you're always picking the safe, the familiar, the what I can plan, what I can manage, the known. If you're always picking the known, what makes you think that you're going to have an unknown experience? And this is why, you know, why there's like the Fool card, or like just the principle of like a quantum leap, because you're leaping into something else. You're choosing to go into the unknown and still trust yourself. Because you begin to understand that your frequency that you hold is the experiences that you have. And so you know that, okay, if I'm in the unknown and I'm holding the frequency, then it has to reflect back to me that frequency, right? So it's like, I guess my biggest lesson would be is just get comfortable with the unknown, get comfortable dancing with the unknown, start choosing the expansive option, right? Start choosing the expansive thing. Start following what lights your soul up. Don't just ignore it when your soul's like this, even if it's something small, from an almond butter to a big opportunity. Like, begin to listen to yourself. I mean, how long can you live having that sold out feeling, right? How long can you feel the full body yes in your body and ignore it and then be like, I should have done that? And again, feel the full body yes and just not do it and see everyone else, like seeing everyone else get on the boat and you're not getting on the boat. You're like, oh, this feels so good, this feels so inspiring, but then you find a reason to talk yourself out of it, or why you can't, or why you're unworthy, or why you're not ready yet, or whatever other reason, you know, we can come up with in our minds, right? And like, how many times will you let that ship pass? How many times will you feel that inspiration and just kind of let it go and just tell yourself, no, I'm okay, and the familiar and the comfortable? Because ultimately you have to desire to expand into more. Your desire has to be strong. That's why, you know, a lot of books, even like, you know, the book Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich, right, which is such a classic book. It's like, he talks about the burning desire, right? Which his book is a very, I would say, probably more masculine approach. But just as an example, right, you have to have the strong desire for whatever reality is that you want. This is why I feel like it really has to be soul, it has to be strong, where it's like you feel inspired by it, right? Where it brings you to life, where you feel the energy from it. And that's going to make you show up consistently, right? This is why we also, again, and I made an episode on the podcast called like The Importance of Desire, why, you know, we've been shamed through our desire, but our desire is literally what guides us. Our desire is like the spark of inspiration that later leads to results and greater results and success and whatever. Like, our desire is like spirit guiding us through pleasure, through feelings, right? And there's a difference. You can feel a desire that's not soul aligned from a desire that's soul aligned. For example, when I was at this retreat, there was like a lot of cake and sugary foods. And although in the moment I was like, cotton candy, I was like, no, like that's like not a soul desire. That was just like a in the moment bodily desire, right? There's a difference between that and a desire for like your vision of the future. So it's not about following your desire, I guess you would say, like in a hedonistic way. And I mean, you know, it's up to the individual to decide what's hedonistic for them. But it's not about just being like, oh, anything that I want, I follow through, even if it doesn't serve me. It's about having the consciousness and the level of consciousness where you can decide, is this a desire that's aligned with me and going to expand me in some way or bring me joy? Is it either going to teach me something, expand me, or bring me joy? Because, you know, all those are very valuable frequencies. When it expands you, it's a valuable frequency. When it teaches you something, it's a valuable frequency. Something brings you joy, that a frequency of joy and playfulness aligns with the frequency of abundance, and AK calls more of that in, or prosperity, and calls more of that in. So is it going to bring you joy, right? And this is why, you know, why you can't teach consciousness to someone. Like, so many times when I share a subject or topic, I like to fill in all the loopholes, because I already can feel where the loopholes could be or questions people would ask. I'm a pretty logical person, I'm very intuitive, and I really follow my intuition, but I'm also very logical. I have a lot of earth in my chart. My moon's in Capricorn, my Mercury's in Taurus, my Mars is in Virgo. So I really feel what kind of questions people would have, or what more logical people would think. What I've learned is, like, you can't teach a consciousness to someone. If you can explain a topic and explain every angle of it, and someone will still dismiss it, because you can't teach consciousness, right? Like, I can say, oh, your desire is important, and someone will say, well, this kind of desire, and it's like, well, no, it takes a specific level of consciousness to understand, right, which of your desires are aligned. Also, trust in yourself, and yeah, and the desires can, they don't all need to be quote-unquote, I don't say spiritual, because everything is spiritual, but I think in our world people want to shame the material realms, which is like, I want to remind you that you came on earth to have a physical, tangible experience. You are allowed to enjoy the 3D senses. You're not less than. You are allowed to desire nice things and enjoy nice things in life. Like, it's like you came to experience that, and that is your literal free will. And there can, yeah, so just really kind of remember that, like, you are worthy of receiving. Like, life doesn't care. There's a quote, right? It's like, life doesn't care whether you're poor or wealthy. You choose, you know, the identity that you're going to go with, you know. You know, at the same time, I would say, you know, be conscious about things, and, you know, be conscious about where things are coming from and what kind of impact you're creating, maybe just because you might personally care about that. But also, these topics are just so layered, right? But also at the same time, you know, you ultimately have to trust, you have to have your own connection, right? You have to trust yourself. And that is our lesson here, is to for us to develop that connection with our higher selves, with that expand our consciousness to a level where we trust ourselves, where we can make our own decisions, where we're not looking on the outside, right, for someone to make a decision for us. And, you know, support and sacred space and people being mirrors for us is so important, however. And so, yeah, I mean, go into 2022 and inspire yourself, sign up for something, work, you know, like, I don't know. I offer so many self-study courses. I'll put some in the keynotes, but just go to my Instagram and my bio. So many self-study courses where you can do things your pace, your way. If you're not ready to show up weekly and whatever it may be, and you're not wanting that, then take a self-study course. My best-selling course is Your Tweak Abundance Quantum Leap, where you work around money and abundance and scarcity coding and really up-level you in that way. Your inner kingdom is really amazing for polarity, learning how to integrate masculine and feminine energy, not both in yourself and your life and relationship, and just in general, how to make yourself magnetic to the opportunities you desire. I mean, there's so many, but just inspire yourself, right? That should be like a shirt. Inspire yourself. And, you know, ultimately, yeah, just really being cognizant about what you surround yourself with, because that surround yourself with people who have higher standards of you, you know, who have higher standards of themselves, of their life, at what kind of, like, people who play life on a higher level. Louise said that, and I really like that quote. It's like, surround people who are playing life on a higher level, who aren't just playing in the little leagues. Surround yourself with people who are playing, like, in the Premier League, right, who are playing with the big boys, who are playing on major levels. This is what I'm inviting you into, inside lust, is to play with me on the major levels, to, you know, turn in your little league uniform, say, I know it was nice, I know it was comfortable, I know you knew everyone there, you knew what the field looked like, you knew what all the rules were, you know how, what to expect, right? Known. But I invite you to come play with me in the big leagues, where you may not know, when it's an unknown, you may not know the rules yet, you may have to make your own rules, right? You don't know who, maybe you don't know who anyone else in this league yet, but you'll make those friends. You know, at least you know me. That's why I would say, like, for people who are like inside less, I'm like, even if you don't know until you meet everyone else inside, you always know you have me by your side as well, right? And I will hold you accountable to play at the big levels, lovingly, of course, and with love and grace and support, not like in a aggressive kind of way. But yeah, just come play at higher levels of life, right? Because ultimately it's all about consciousness. And I made a post about this too, but not consciousness in a hierarchical way, but consciousness in just in, and that's just the level of awareness, right? Come play at a higher level of awareness. Come play where the risks are bigger, but the rewards are bigger, right? Like, come play at this kind of level, because ultimately you choose where you play. And too many people are convinced and told that they can only play in the little leagues, and then what happens is they get too comfortable in them, and then the big leagues seem scary, and then they begin to tell themselves stories like only these kinds of people play in these leagues, or that they're not good enough, or they're not worthy, or that in 3 years after this, or when they blank, or when, you know, it's like projecting things out into the known, trying to create more known out of this unknown, trying to control it, trying to make it linear again. Oh, then, or when I do this, or when I am able to do it like this. Like, when you live linearly, you create linear results, which is fine. But I know a lot of people want to live on a quantum level, where you create results bigger and better than you would have ever expected, where you step into the unknown over and over again, and surprise and delight yourself every time at what you're able to expand into, what you're able to become, and how powerful this being inside you always was, and how magnificent this being inside you always was. And I really want you to wake up to that and align to that. And this is why I create the spaces I do. This is what this work is, my passion. This is why this work is who I am. You know, this is why I created divinity. This is why I created all those courses that are now self-study courses. Why I created Lust, which, by the way, Lust will never be a self-study course. It's only something you can get inside. And once the doors close, it's a six-month course, right? Or six-month mastermind and coaching certification program. So you won't be able to get inside. So if you're wanting to get inside, keep in mind, like, once we begin, we're rolling and we're rocking. So yes, at the end, you'll also receive a beautiful, huge or pretty big certificate of completion with a gold foil stamp that's going to be embossed with Lust and a beautiful frame shipped to you, so you'll receive that as well. It's just so epic. We're putting so much love and soul into each and every aspect of it. And yes, I just, this is why, like, it's why I, genuinely, you know, people always say, this is why I do what I do. No, but genuinely, it really is why I do what I do and why I'm putting so much effort into planning the Sedona retreat. If you knew how much work goes into planning an in-person retreat, it's a lot of work, honestly, right? So a lot of people just, why most people stick to online, because online it's way easier, right? You don't need to plan that much to set up Zoom and to show up. You could show up from anywhere, right? But to plan an in-person event is a whole lot of work, but it's very important to me because I really want to establish more like in-person community in that way. And if you're able to come in to Sedona in March, I really invite you to come and to meet me, and everyone else will be there. My assistant will be there, my husband will be there, so it'll be really, really epic. We're putting so much work into that. And like I said, we opened up a few more spots because we're getting a lot of emails with people asking when will more spots open. Now people are wanting to book because it's closer to the holidays. It's closer to that time. Because when it was announced, it was still a few months away when we had like the early bird and stuff. And now I guess it's getting way closer and more real. So people are like, okay, now I want in. So I'll have the links to all the stuff that I mentioned down below. And I hope you enjoyed today's conversation. If you did, I love when you guys screenshot and tag me on Instagram. I love reposting you guys listening from all over the world and doing whatever you're doing. So if you guys are driving or going for a walk, or just at home, or in the bath, or cooking, I just, like, in my head, I remember everyone, and a lot of people, what they share. Like, I remember one of you was, like, cooking with your boyfriend and playing it. Some of you go on walks, or I don't know, some of you are driving, some of you are driving for to and from work, or whatever you're doing, in the middle of the day, taking a break, or just, like I said, in your grand rising listening, tag me, and I will be so, I'd love to see who's listening, because I really connect with you guys when I see you tag me and see who's listening. And I'll obviously, I like love reposting. At the same time, we can let this message get out even further and invite more and more people in our community. I'm sure you already know, but so many people are now waking up, and I think information on consciousness is just so important and so valuable at this time, and you sharing it could allow someone to find this podcast and to receive the exact guidance and support that they need in that moment. So allow our community to expand, for not only for us, because we love having, you know, a greater community and so many more people to connect with, but just allow, whenever time you share, just know that you are helping expand and share this message, helping expand the message of consciousness and of everything, of metaphysics, of everything we discuss, and just allowing it to move further, right? The power of proximity, the power of sharing is so powerful. Like the law, what is it? The degree of six, how we know everyone through six people. So you never know who is connecting with this when you're sharing this, and who needs it, is who it's so aligned for. So I really appreciate when you guys share and tag me. I know that like a lot of people just say like tag me, but like just know really from the bottom of my heart, from the top of my heart, from the bottom of my heart, I really appreciate it. And it means a lot that we're all working together to expand this community. It's really, really epic. And I think it's such an amazing thing. It just shows the power of connection. All right, I've been here for an hour now, so I'm going to... This is going to be it for today's episode. I know we talk about so many subjects, but those are all the things that have been on my mind. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Feel free to check out the keynotes for anything I mentioned. And I will see you next week on Unlimited Abundance, and with so much love from me to you, I'm wishing you unlimited prosperity, and I'm wishing you unlimited abundance. I love you guys, and I'll talk to you soon. Mwah. Bye, everyone.